Once again, it's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to see Jim and Lavinia. They've not felt well for a couple of weeks. It's good to have them back with us today. As mentioned, this is kind of Missions Belize Sunday. I'll be talking a little bit more about Belize here shortly, but I wanted to preface that by looking at our text in John chapter 4 about Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, and this is what I'm going to use as my focus point this morning. The model for our Belize work is healing body and soul, hence the title of today's lesson. And I want to focus on the fact that in this text in John chapter 4, Jesus offers both to the woman at the well. She came for physical water. She needed that. But she left not only with that, she left with spiritual water as well. Excuse me, I had to run and get my thing. And so anyway, I had to get my pointer thing. But in Belize, every patient that comes to our clinics is searching for physical healing. That's why we're there. That's why they come. And we do everything that we can in our power to provide that healing for them. But we also give the opportunity to receive spiritual healing as well. And I think this text presents a lesson on how, just another way that you can present the gospel. Presenting the gospel isn't just done by preachers standing in pulpits. It's not just done because you go knocking on someone's door. There's a lot of ways to represent Jesus in the world today and to get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And this text gives us one of those options. So I want to look at how Jesus interacted with her and see what we can learn from it. And the first thing is, you have to be willing. You just have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to be inconvenienced. We live in an age and time where the focus is on convenient. What can I do to make it more convenient? And we try to avoid being inconvenienced, whatever that word for that would be, inconvenienced. We do everything we can to keep from that or keep that from happening. Jesus is on his way to Galilee. He left Judea, and he's on his way to Galilee, and he chooses to go through Samaria to get there. That was not normal for Jews to do that. They would do everything they could to avoid going through Samaria, but Jesus went through Samaria to get to Galilee. He stops at the city of Sychar, and as we read in John chapter 4, verse 6, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Let me just say at the beginning that if we are willing to be inconvenienced, you will see the Spirit do great things through you. But if you feel as though it is inconvenient for you to be at the Spirit's disposal, he will find someone else. We need to be able to come and answer the call when Jesus or the Spirit leads us. It's the sixth hour of the day, according to the scripture. That's noon. Typically, the hottest time of the day and that particular time, and no one would go to the well at noon to get water. But this woman did. And as tired as Jesus was, it says he was weary, so we know that he was tired, we know he's been traveling, we know he has a long ways yet to go, but being tired, he took advantage of this unusual opportunity that was given to him. And that's key. Taking advantage of the opportunities God presents us is the very key to kingdom work. Taking advantages of the opportunity that Jesus gives you to just show up, or just to be him in the moment, is vital for the kingdom to grow. And the folks that come to our clinics are there by coincidence, but it's not a chance meeting. They come because they saw the advertisement. They got the word of mouth. They know we've been there before. They know that we're always there this same time every year. We're very consistent on that, and that's by design. And people will plan their weeks because they know we're going to be in the area. And so it's not a coincidence. Some of it's coincidence, but it's not by chance. They're there because they have a need. And how we respond to that need is critical. And we take that very seriously. It's not convenient sometimes to go to Belize. It takes a big commitment, both of time and money, to go. But I believe we miss out on many, many blessings when we are unwilling to be inconvenienced. I think we rob ourselves of so many opportunities when we don't take advantage of those when they come our way. It might not have been the convenient time for Jesus to meet this woman. He was tired, he was traveling, he had places to go, he had an agenda already set for him for the day, and this woman did not fit into that agenda for the day, except that this woman fit into the agenda of Jesus' purpose. And so, therefore, he responded to that. It was the right time. So, you need to be willing to be inconvenienced, but you also need to be willing to associate. This one gets a lot of people. This one takes a lot of people off the playing field because they're not willing to associate. The hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans was very real. It wasn't something that was made up. It wasn't something that was imagined. It was something they just did not like each other. They did not get along with each other. It had been going on for a long time. It was the original Hatfields and McCoys. They hated each other. So this meeting had all the markings of this isn't going to end well, one way or the other. It was such that, as we mentioned, the Jews would most of the time, go around Samaria rather than trying to go through it, and they didn't want a chance meeting up with a Samaritan anywhere. But Jesus went through Samaria on purpose. Why? Because Jesus didn't see the differences. Jesus saw people. Jesus saw everyone created in the image of God. And when we go to the villages in Belize, the poorest person on our team will be the richest person in that room. And that's a reality that we see. That's a reality that we know. And so, by the world's standards, we are at a level that they are not. And yet, we don't look at it that way. We see the people. There are many cultures, there are many ethnics, there are many colors, many differences among the people of Belize, and we're the foreigners. We're the ones that don't belong, so to speak. And yet, the people that come in will treat us very graciously. They come to us very willing. They come to us honestly. They need a lot. They need a lot. And they'll wait for hours to get that. And it's not comfortable. It's very hot. It's very humid. And I heard, everyone said, yeah, they're used to it. It's still hot. It's still humid. It's still uncomfortable. And they'll do that. And if we look at the situation, if we look at others and focus on the differences between us, then they're not going to come for the healing. They're just not going to show up. And when the church, when God's people put up those barriers, we have absolutely no message that anyone will listen to. We cannot be offensive in any way to anyone. So we need to, as Jesus was, willing to associate with this woman who was not like him, from a different country than he was, and we need to be willing to see them. We need to be willing to see these people who are wrapped in a different color than most of us are, and that willing to go and to be with them and to associate with them and give them the very best that we have to give. Just a question to think about. Who's your Samaritan? Who is that person? Who is that group? Who is that ethnic? Your Samaritan that needs you. And what's keeping you from going to that person? You need to be willing to be inconvenienced. You need to be willing to understand the differences and be willing to associate it. Who in your world needs the message of Jesus, and why is that message not getting to them? It's a question that you're going to have to answer. I can't answer it for you because I don't know the people in your world that you need to reach. But there's somebody, and they need you to show up. Who cares what someone might think? Who cares if it will tarnish our reputation, as Jesus was often accused? Don't you recognize, Jesus, that you're actually talking to sinners? Don't you understand that you're, do you understand who this woman is? Many times Jesus was asked questions as if it was inappropriate for him to be talking to these people that he's reached out to on a very daily basis. People are dying. People are going to hell. Folks need to put a stop to their pride and prejudice and just simply love. And our clinics are the vehicle that we use to reach folks with the message of Jesus. Now, in order to do that, you have to be alluring. Whoops, there's the verse I was going to read. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman?" That's got to be one of the most haunting questions that Jesus ever received. And I think it would be a haunting question if you or I were to receive it as well. Why are you talking to me? I'm not like you. I'm different from you. Because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And the way it's written, it looks like it's the Jews' fault here. God's chosen people were the ones who were the issue. That's how it reads to me. But anyway, we need to be alluring. Pick up again in John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" You see the disconnect here, right? You see the woman is thinking at a different level, different thought process altogether here. And Jesus knows that. It's not like he's trying to confuse her. He's trying to get her to focus and use this analogy to her advantage. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." Again, she's not totally on the same page as Jesus. We need to be able to draw people in. And so Jesus says, "I have living water." Now, he started this with a very practical statement. Give me a drink. Give me a drink of water. But it was leading to a spiritual application, like healing body and soul. There's a spiritual connotation here that Jesus wants this woman to see. And this analogy of the water is the tool that Jesus is going to use to teach her that lesson. If we can use a literal item to highlight a spiritual truth, it can register with the people that we're talking to, the people that we're reaching out to in a much stronger way. If people can come to the clinic looking for physical healing and walk away with spiritual healing as well, that's a bonus. And that's the methodology. That's the plan that we use. Jesus is saying, you know how important it is to have water. You're willing to come out here at the hottest time of the day just to get some. Well, I have something better. I have water that's better than that. It's not just plain old water. I've got living water. It's not unusual to see one of our team members praying with patients or just sitting and talking to the patients, and we encourage that. We encourage everyone on the team, if you see someone that's struggling or in their conversation and doing triage, if they say that this is going on in their life, we try to find those things and we connect them to individuals in the local church to continue that when we leave. We take the time to try to see what they have going on in their life that could affect their well-being. And that's part of just running a clinic the way Jesus would. A lot of time, there's a lack of spiritual well-being that's leading to their physical ailments. And we can detect some of those things. So we have something that they want. And when they realize that we have something more to give, that's a bonus. But we have to be revealing. Reveal their need. Jesus said, picking up in verse 16, he said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have, who you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. Jesus gets to the heart of the matter real quick. He reveals the source of her hope. Her hope was in a person, a man, evidently her sixth guy that had come along. I don't know the reasons for such a history. It would be totally conjecture to speak to it. And it makes zero difference. When people met Jesus, Jesus was very clear and very sweet and very gentle in letting each one of them know that your past is the past. That's not the focus of this meeting. And so that's what this woman understood. But I would imagine this woman had a lot of self-worth issues. I would imagine this woman was struggling with the idea of feeling invalidated or feeling like she was just property or feeling there's all kinds of things that could have been going through her mind. That was her reality. And Jesus focused in on that. And he wanted to expose her fallacy and trusting in what the world had to offer. He said, your hope is in worldly water, but you need to put your trust in heavenly water. You need to do that because you keep coming up empty. You have to keep going back to the well. She was going back to the well time and time again with her husbands, and she was coming to this well time and time again, but she was continuously thirsty. And Jesus makes the two into one analogy and tells her, you need to get living water that will answer your need. Drink of the water of salvation, you will never be empty again. When our doctors talk to the patients, they need to get a history. You go to your doctor. You know, when you, every time you go to the doctor, you fill out your personal history, and it takes forever, and there might be 8 pages of these forms that you have to fill out, and they want to know all this stuff, and you say why, because what happens before has a lot to say about why you're feeling the way you are. And our doctors will do the best they can to get a history. They need to find out what might be contributing to their illness. And it could be anything from a poor diet, which is very common, which is probably the most common thing that we see. It could be tobacco. It could be a sedentary lifestyle. There's a lot of things that can contribute to their ill health. And a lot of time, they need healing for their soul so the body can catch up. And that's what we do. That's why we do what we do. That's why we go where we go. And I want to share a little bit more with you about that, and then I'll wrap this all up here in just a couple of minutes. As I said, the motto is healing body and soul, and that's what we do at North Belize Medical Missions. And our trips are very similar year after year after year, and yet they're totally different year after year after year, because we're not just different situations come up. Again, we follow this mantra. Jesus is going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. You cannot go into the villages where we go and see the people that we see and walk away from that neutral. Somehow, some way, you will be impacted by that encounter. For many people, it's life-changing. For many people, they've never been to a different culture. For many people, they've never seen that level of poverty. For many people, they're just overwhelmed. For many people, it's just what they're called to do. But seeing the people, Jesus had compassion on them. And we will see the people. The first day that we're there, we'll set up across the street from the hotel. It's amazing, the contrast from one side of the street to the other. The hotel is probably one of the nicest facilities in the whole town. But just on the other side, right across this road, the hotel sits behind these trees. There's the sign for it right up there. But right across this street is this area that we call the compound. And again, we go there on Sunday afternoon and we treat that whole family. It's sort of it's a conglomeration of family. We're not real sure yet, and I'm not even sure they know yet who all belongs and who doesn't, but yet we'll treat them. And we'll spend quite a while there on Sunday afternoon treating these people, and this is triaging them, trying to get some. You'll see the accommodations that we're set up in. It's called outside, and everywhere we go, we have to take everything with us. All of our tables and chairs, all of our equipment, everything, we have to haul that every single day. But we'll set up and we'll do triage, and that's what you see being done here. Also, this is inside one of their homes. We're taking the medicines back to them. After we see them, we get their medicines, and this is distributing medicines. There's Dr. Pyron there in the middle, and he's talking to them. That's Sarah in the green shirt. She's a pharmacist from Columbus, Indiana. Again, that's just what they're doing. You see inside the house, you notice they're standing on dirt floor. How many of you have dirt floors in your house? The question down there is, how many of you don't have dirt floors in your house? It's very, very common for that. This is Jim, our pharmacist. He's from Nashville, Indiana. And again, he's talking to the people, telling them, trying to instruct them what to do. Christy is there trying to interpret, because Jim, as good a man as he is, he'll just look at you and say, I don't know what they're saying. And so at times you have to have someone who does know what they're saying so that we can get that message across. This is Jim at one of the clinic sites just preparing. Jim is a special guy. He is the first one every year that sends in his registration, his money. I get it from him sometimes before the year's out for the next year. He had knee replacement surgery in January, and I got his check for in January. I got his check to come again, and he's ready to go. But he sees every patient that comes through the clinic. He's one of the few in that position. But he has to read the doctor's notes and make the notes and then translate those instructions. Sometimes he struggles. Here's Jamie helping him with some instruction on that as well. There's lots of people that show up. When we get there, the crowds are there. We just open them up and we have to organize all that. We have to get them all registered and get their information. Kerrigan is here, and Kerrigan does that for us a lot, getting that done. Then they go into triage. There's Faith. Faith's over here as well. And so they're doing, getting some triage, getting some information. There's Lisa. And Lisa is seeing patients, and she's very good at diagnosing. Lisa's a veterinarian. Now, these people aren't animals, but there are similarities. And Lisa is getting some general information and is also making some diagnosis, but she also seeks counsel from the doctors who are sitting next to her. The guy standing is Miguel. Miguel is a Spanish speaker. Spanish is his first language. Unfortunately, Miguel and his wife Kim won't be with us this year because Kim just had a baby this month. So they decide not to take the baby and go to Belize, which is probably a smart thing to do. Inside one of the schools, this looks like San Joaquin, I'm thinking. We'll set up in these classrooms. We'll put the doctors in there. There'll be triage. It'll generally be close by. But people have to go from place to place to place. And there's different stations within the clinic sites. Braden is our traffic guide and gets everybody from place to place. It's a daunting job to do that because they all get done at different times, and this family may have two and this family may have 12, getting them all transported from point A to point B. But that's what we do. It's Dr. Pyron helping a family there. You'll see Cambry kind of looking there. Cambry just soaks this stuff up. She likes blood and guts and pus, and the closer she can get to that, all power to her. You'll notice I am not in that picture. Trying to take something out of the eye. This is Dr. Lori. Lori's a ER doctor from Oklahoma, and they're trying to pull something out of this person's eye. Is what's going on there. I just put this picture in there because these twins I just thought were cute. If you love babies, you need to go. You'll get your dose of babies that will last for a while because they're adorable, and we enjoy seeing them. This lady, we gave her this wheelchair, and real excited. We gave out 6 wheelchairs this last year. Now, I'm not sure, is this the one that came from Belmo Penn? Or was she local? We had one lady that got on a bus at 4 o'clock in the morning. This wasn't her. Okay, one lady got on a bus 4 o'clock in the morning and came to where we were set up because she heard that she might be able to get a wheelchair. And so she rode that bus up. We were able to get her a wheelchair. And she was very grateful for that. But we gave away 6 of them. This lady was just happy to get it. This guy got a cane. That's Shauna. Shauna is a neonatal nurse practitioner from Medina, Texas. And we give out a lot of canes, walking sticks. And I could tell you exactly how many canes we gave out. 28 of them this year. So we give those out as well. This little girl calls herself Jazzy. She was in an automobile accident when she was just a few years old that left her paralyzed from the waist down. And she is so excited about life. I mean, this girl would just light up your life. And she just made everybody's day when she came in. The mother, in talking with the doctors, was concerned because she doesn't move around. She sits in the chair all the time, but she doesn't want to. She wants to do more. So Dr. Lori thought that if we could give her something that would help her build her upper body strength so that she could use her arms and upper body more, that would be good. So we got her this, and I apologize for the clarity of this picture. This picture was taken by a friend of Elena. Elena is the lady in the purple. She's a health worker in the city of the village of Louisville. She delivered this walker. This is a pediatric walker that we ordered while we were there, and were able to get it in, and took it to her. And she can get on this walker and pull herself, and she's building up her body strength. We're going to try to get her a pair of pediatric arm crutches that would help her do that as well. Her legs won't work, but if we can build her body strength, and we're going back to see her again this year in Louisville, and hopefully we'll be able to make some more progress with her. Cambry is our lab tech. She does all the poking. She was real excited this year because I found her some specimen bottles to get urine samples that have lids on them. She was so, it's the little things, you know, but she was so excited because now they have lids on the urine samples. But Jamie gathers all that information. She runs the tests. What? What did I say? Jamie? They're very close. Anyway, Cambry does all that. And she runs the test, she reads the dipstick, she draws, does all that for us, does an excellent job of that. There's Susan doing some testing for eyes, and again, Christy is trying to see if her eyes work as well, offering some translation there. This is a little girl using this is a relatively new piece of equipment. These are, this look like glasses that you put on. You know when you go to the eye doctor and they say, which is better? This does the same thing. It's not near as annoying. This piece of equipment, I don't know if you can see, but they have right here, these are two on either eye. And they look through those lenses, and there's a little knob, and she's holding on that knob, and she just turns it till it's clear. And then she turns the other eye until it's clear. And there will be a number on each one of those. And then we get those numbers, and we go to our inventory, and we pull this number for the left eye, this number for the right eye, and we make glasses that quick, and they walk away able to see. And this is relatively new process for us. We've only done it, this will be the third year maybe, that we've had this available to us. But this speeds up the process considerably. There's another little boy trying to do the same thing. And then there's his glasses, and he's reading just as clean as he can. I mean, it's wonderful. Everybody gets sunglasses. Christy is working that table, giving out sunglasses and reading glasses. Everyone who wants sunglasses can get them, and we encourage everyone to take sunglasses because the sun is very, very hot and it's difficult. Last year we had dentist. We're not having a dentist this year. Dr. John is in the process of moving, so he was not able to be with us. So Dr. John did dental work. This is Kylie and Brogan. Brogan pulled 17 teeth? I think Brogan pulled 17 teeth that week. I was excited to do that. Again, you'll not see me in the picture. I'm away from that. Dr. John gets in there and he does what needs to be done. And we made great strides in what we can do as far as dental is concerned. This is another part of what we do. It's entertaining kids. And Cambry made a high-five balloon out of an exam glove. Those things are very versatile. You can make all kinds of toys with them. And the little girl was playing with that. Across the street from one of our clinic sites is Casa John Han, which is a nursing home. I've told you about it before. Older people that have no family or the family doesn't want them, and they bring them to this facility to be taken care of. And we started treating them. We are now their doctor, and we go in every year, take care of all their patients. They had this sign out for us when we came this year. The man standing there next to me is Javier Martinez. He is the village chairman and works very, very hard for the good of his village. So we'll go in and see the people there. There aren't very many of them there, generally 12 or less, because that's all they can take. It's a family of three sisters, and there's one brother who is a real estate developer in Los Angeles, California, and he helps send money, and then the three sisters actually run the facility there in Belize. This is out in their porch. This is where they spend most of their day, and our team is in there, goes in there, and will treat the patients out there on that porch. We took them stuffed animals, and you would have thought that you gave them the world. It was amazing how they responded to these animals. We give them the animals, we give them the sunglasses, and they just get excited when they have these things. And we're going to be going back, and we're going to take more things for them. These are the people, you know, when I asked for the clothes and the shorts, the shirts, these are the people that are going to be receiving those things, the bed sheets. That's where this is going. I got a message from her Friday. She needs size 6 through 9 sandals or tennis shoes. If anyone has any 6 through 9, I don't know how many we can get in there, but we'll try to take them. Was it 6 through 9 or 7? 6 through 9. 7? 7 through 9. Sandals or tennis shoes. We're going to take what we can to them. That's Danae. Danae was a first-timer last year, fluent in Spanish, and she was another one of our translators, and she was just a sweetheart and just got really close to a lot of the patients. Let me tell you a little story about Paula. Paula, her name is Paula Pena. We found her a few years ago. She came to the clinic, and very, very shy, very extroverted, and found out that she's made fun of a lot at school. She's kind of bullied at school, and because everyone thought she was dumb. Actually, they just thought she was a stupid kid in class. Come to find out, she just couldn't see. She couldn't see the blackboard. She couldn't read because she couldn't see the books in front of her. And Judy just kind of took her under her wing, and we tested her eyes. We got a prescription. We came back and had prescription made because her eyes were really bad. We had prescription or glasses made. We took them back to her, and immediately it made a huge difference to the point that she went ahead and finished school. She wanted to go on to high school and college, her and her sister Bernadine, and so Judy did that for them. Like I said, you can't go into these situations and walk away from them neutral. It will change you in many ways. And Judy has subsidized the education for these two girls, and both girls are now honor roll Dean's List students in high school and college because she can now see. that I love this little girl. That's Paula and Bernadine, her sister. Bernadine is holding up her report card of straight A's. She wanted us to see that. I get semester updates from them. They send me copies of their report cards that they're doing so well. That guitar that she is holding, that Paula is holding, she made that out of balsa wood and cardboard because she wanted to play the guitar. And it looks impressive. Braden and I saw it and thought, man, how in the world did you, I don't know how you begin. But she made this guitar out of balsa wood and cardboard and colors, and I don't know how she did all that. But we wanted to get her a guitar. So we did. Bray and I delivered this to her, and Sue delivered this to her this spring when we were down there. This guitar came, Rob and Judy got it through the string and horn shop here in town that worked out a deal, and they got us this guitar, and we took it down. And she has promised that she will sing and play a song for me this July. I'm looking forward to it. This is our building. This is our, doesn't look like much, but let me tell you the blessing that this thing is. The village of San Joaquin and the village chairman that I showed you earlier gave us this property. This property goes back to these trees back here. It goes all the way over to that grass area on this side. I guess it could go all the way over here, but it goes up. And this is the first part of the building. This building is only 20 by 20. When it's done, it'll be 80 by 100 when the building is done. It will be a two-story building when it is done. It is being built. There are cement pillars in the middle of it to put a second story on this building as well. This is another view. There's the door going in. That is a steel security door. Also, you'll notice every building in Belize has rebar sticking out of it. And I wasn't sure why that was the first time I went, but I noticed that it was there. And so found out that if the building has rebar, it's still under construction, and you don't pay property tax until it's done. So virtually every house you see has rebar sticking out of it someplace. You know, pay taxes on the ground, but you don't have to pay taxes on the building until it's complete. So we are culturally accurate in our building, and we have rebar sticking out of it, but that's also because we have to connect buildings to it. And so this building will soon be a room within the larger building as we continue the process. And so that's the building. When we went down this spring, I asked the contractor to build shelves inside it. Right there, a air conditioning unit will be installed in that to keep it temperature controlled, which will be a blessing. But we had shelves put in it, and we filled those shelves. We took everything out of the shipping container that we had down there, which was on its last legs, even beyond that, and we put everything in that building. Now, when we go back in the summer, we're going to sort through that and get rid of some of the stuff that's no longer any good. We found things in there I didn't even know we had. We had to get everything out of this container. This is a container now. There's nothing inside it. This is a 40-foot shipping container that man by Ricky let us stay put in his yard. 2 years ago, Ricky had a massive stroke and has been paralyzed since. So when we were there this year, I told him we were taking everything out of the container and we were no longer going to use it. And I asked him what they wanted us to do with the container. I would have it hauled away. I would scrap it. I would do whatever. They asked if they could have it so that they could build a house there for family. It's going to take some work to do that, but they wanted it. I gave it to them. That on the side there, that Bo Horner put that up. Says Bo's Love Shack, but anyway, a lot of the team members had signed the inside of that container. I took pictures of all that, and I will make prints so that people can see that, and we'll put those somewhere. Anyway, but that's what it looks like now. This last year, we saw 846 total patients, more women than men, 366 women, 159 men. Belize has just right under 500,000 people that live in the whole country. The majority of those are women. There are more women than there are men in the country. 46% of the total population are 18 and younger. That gives you a dynamic of who you're working with. 85 dental patients, we gave out 134 prescription glasses, 215 children's sunglasses, 467 adult sunglasses, 250 pair of reading glasses. Canberra did 211 labs, and we gave out 5,731 prescriptions. Also gave away 41 digital thermometers, 28 canes, 6 wheelchairs, 1 pediatric walker. We went through 28 one-gallon jugs of water, 600 small bottled water, 120 large bottled water, 36 1 and 3/4 liter bottles of water, 10 5-gallon jugs of water, 24 bottles of Coke, 24 bottles of Coke Zero. We probably could have done three times that much if we could have found it. 24 Sprite, 24 Orange Fanta, 180 bottles of Gatorade, and 75 large bags of ice. And that doesn't include the Beanie Babies that we gave away, or the food, the water, the clothes that we gave. We have people who will empty their suitcases and give it to people who live there. But that's what we do. And we'll be going back in July. There's still room on the team, and there's still time if you would like to go. So let me know if you'd be interested in that. It is hard work. It is hot work, but it's very rewarding work. And so if you would be interested in doing that, talk to me, and we'll tell you what you would have to do next. The whole idea is that every person without Christ is a mission field, and every person with Christ is a missionary. And wherever those two can meet, that meeting is important. It has eternal ramifications. And so I encourage you to do something, somehow, somewhere. If it's not, I understand not everyone can go to Belize for whatever reason. I understand that. But there's someone who needs the message. And that is certainly something that you can share. If there's any way that we could help you to do that, Joel's going to lead us in another song as we stand and sing.